I'd never met a Reform rabbi before, mm-hmm. first of all. And, you know, I envisioned a rabbi totally different from Walter. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think I wrote my boss when I arrived here a long letter and said that I think a rabbi in America is more like a social worker. Not quite true, but a little bit true.
There's mm-hmm. some truth to it. Mm-hmm. Do you think, this isn't necessarily for the tape, but do you think it's moving back in another direction, more towards
Orthodoxy? Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And more
oh, yes.
Rabbinic, let's say.
No, I mean, it has been rabbinic too, but rabbis do a lot of, depending on the rabbi, a lot of social work too.
Right, Well, that was true also, I think, in my mm-hmm. parents' day.
Yeah,
I think the rabbi was the final word on everything, it seems to me, or from what I've heard. Anyway, you did it, and... here you are. How about your life with Walter and your kids and so on? Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, it's been a very good life. Mixed blessing, of course. Mm-hmm. We had a daughter who died at 16. She was handicapped. I think the best work we've really done in Pittsburgh, I would say, is establish a Horizon Home, mm-hmm. which was very difficult at the time, trying to get money for the home.
Could you explain what the Horizon Home is?
Oh, all right. Our daughter was first in D.T. Watson Home, mm-hmm. and they couldn't help her anymore. And we did not want to send her to a state hospital. We had two children at that time, and it would be too difficult in the house. And we went all around all up to Maryland to look at places. We did not like anything. Mm-hmm. We liked one place run by the Lancaster Mennonites, by the Amish, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we came home, and we decided to establish a home here in Pittsburgh, not out in the sticks, that the children could make use of facilities that were available in Pittsburgh.
How old had she been then? How old was she when this decision had to be made? How long did they stay at D.T. Watson? Basically, I'm saying, how long did they stay at D.T. Watson?
So she was about 12, something like that. And then it was very difficult to establish at first. You want to establish something, try and get money. Nobody wants to give to something they don't know. If somebody who was extremely helpful was Murray Levine. I don't know if you know him. Mm-hmm. He was always very helpful. And we went to see with the whole delegation to Connecticut that had a very good places for handicapped children. And we came back and we bought a home on 1212 North Negley, which was ideal. I think we paid $150,000, I thought it was an arm and a leg. And this was really, once we got going, there are about, 12 branches now.
Is that right?
Oh, yes, it was the first group home in southwest Pennsylvania to get permission to use that house as a group home. We had to go to city council, and we lost 8-1 or something like
Did
that.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then we organized people, and they went around the neighborhood and got votes. When we had the next meeting at city council, we won 9-0.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That's and our great. Biggest opponent, and I don't know his name anymore, was in the area. His daughter was for us. He was very much against it. he died of a heart attack.
Did he really?
Right then.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this home now has about 12 branches.
Where are the branches?
All over.
In this area?
In this area.
Yeah. Okay. So that the children can be close to parents?
The children can be close to parents, and they can use the facilities in this area. And that some people... Some families can get a respite from caring for a weekend. They want to go away.
You have respite care also.
We had respite care, and one of the people who made use of it was the governor of Pennsylvania.
How long would the kids stay in Horizon?
I don't know what it is now, but at that time it was till they were 16 or 18, until also the same kind of facility could be found. It was a beautiful home, golden dining room. As a matter of fact, it was the home of an architect and interior decorator.
So they were in lovely surroundings.
It was a beautiful surrounding. It was the kind of place you would not be ashamed to place member of your family. And it was close to home. She always came home weekends and vacations, etc.
Right. Did they go to school there?
She went to school school for handicapped children.
I see.
Not too far away. She was bused there, bused back. Mm-hmm. Weekends she came to us, so we did not lose touch with her.
I worked at Pioneer School. You're familiar with it, right? And I had two girls came from Horizon.
Oh,
they came there, right? So I knew
that it was. No, they are doing a terrific job. Mm. Still.
Always is a huge need.
Yeah.
It
didn't take just Jewish children.
These children were not Jewish. Right.
Well, some were, some weren't.
Yeah. The two I worked with were not Jewish. Yeah. Right. That is an enormous accomplishment.
That was. What other things? What other things did we do?
Well, how about the boys?
The boys? Kenny and...
I was going to say their names.
Kenny.
Uh-huh.
Jacob and Daniel Jacob. And I had a close family life.
Right.
Walter was always busy. He traveled a great deal.
With your children?
With the children, a couple of times across America, camping. We like to camp, like to ski together, and what else? And Kenny's back in Pittsburgh, and Daniel's in Atlanta, and likes Atlanta. He's a big golfer.
Oh,
golf all year round there. And I was active in the music life here. I was the founder of the Recorder Society.
Oh.
And I was a docent first at the museum in the first class. And later when I saw that you can talk about pictures in the museum, I went to Phipps Conservatory for plants for my life. I also worked at the greenhouse. The Western Psych had a greenhouse, and I volunteered there, but they weren't very nice. So I left. We built our own greenhouse. In the meantime, I started Phipps. I started the docent program at Phipps Conservatory. I taught there, led tours to gardens, etc. And after that, I started the Ecobitra
Garden. And that's what we'd like to hear about.
What year are we talking?
Biblical Garden. I think we started on that in 86. You know. And as how did we start it?
Mm-hmm. Then we have okay. all, it's a wonderful thing.
We started, as I say, I was at Phipps Conservatory, and in winter, very few people came in. And in January especially, I mean, those plants were lonely. And so I wrote a talk on plants of the Bible, but these plants which we grew there were only in pots. But it was successful. People came in, and it was successful. When you, I left...
You researched it, is that right?
Oh, yes. And I love research.
Okay. So you did and the research.
Yeah,
that.
But
okay.
I did that, and then we started... then I thought, you know, if that's popular, why not have a biblical garden here? Also, at the same time, we wrote a book. That's why I know that there were not many biblical gardens in North America. Orta and I wrote this book, Gardens of North America and Hawaii, Traveler's Guide. Lists over 1,400 gardens, and we visited all.
Did you?
About 900 of them. These are with maps. And, you know, when you travel, or let's say around Route 90 in New York, mm-hmm. you can, instead of going to a shopping place to stretch your legs, this actually, this was published in 1985, and the Timber Press, which is the horticultural press,
right.
I just talked to them. They want us to
update it,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, one of the things I'm doing now.
Could you tell us, are these formal gardens?
These are gardens open to the public.
Okay.
900 of them are free. Some are great, some are not that great. But it's like Walter says, it's when you visit your in-laws, you might...
What does he say?
Maybe you have a choice of visiting the garden.
Well,
Well, the garden, why did I show you some other things we published in the garden? So we started the garden in 1986. How did we start it? again, Murray Levine, who was our neighbor, we showed him on a brown packing paper a design for the garden.
It's in the shape of Israel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was the first to support it.
Is that right?
Yes. Little did we know how much it would cost at that time, because at home we have a very large garden, but we do it all ourselves. And anyway, people were enormously generous. For the garden.
It appealed to people.
It really appealed to people, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And you can see the plaques there of people who gave 10,000 or more.
Isn't that?
And really was just enormously generous, the people. So we started the garden, and the garden is really, there are some very few biblical gardens, but none of them do what we do. Is our interest in ancient plants.
Is that has that stopped? Oh, okay.
And each year, not only we have plants of the Bible, but plants with biblical names, because the garden is only open in summer, from the 1st of June to the 15th of September, and we have a lot of tropical plants, which we have to take in.
Lift them up.
Lift them, yeah, they all lift it up, which is tremendous labor. That's why nobody else has done it. Talk about the New York Botanical, even Kew Gardens, even San Francisco Striber, no, none of them have a biblical garden. No. And also not, then I wrote a book on the Guide to the Gardens. I don't know what there's one here. And also...
A Guide to the Garden.
A Guide to the Biblical Garden.
Uh-huh.
Yes, which is also being rewritten now. That's when you called me and said, you know, I'm so busy.
I wondered, you sounded like the busiest woman.
Not only that, I have clean up the garden.
Right.
I'm still at it. And we also have symposiums. We have different subjects in addition to Plants of the Bible and Plants of Biblical Name. We have additional exhibits. Two of them were the healing past plants, medicinal plants from ancient Egypt, Mesopotamia, Greek and Rome. And we did also, last year was very popular, beer from ancient times. It was very interesting. Yeah. Beer was really the first drink.
Was it the first alcoholic beverage?
Yes. Yeah, from we're going back to Mesopotamia. And we've done perfume and dyes and bread from ancient times. And we get very good publicity from the paper, really wonderful articles. And last year we did textiles, and we grow the plants. Not only do we write about them, do the research, but we grow the plants. And
is our climate a real challenge?
Oh, yes, it is.
I would imagine an enormous challenge.
Yes, well, at the moment, up to now, you know, all the plants that have to be lifted are kept in containers. And they used to be, I think it started in my basement, but then they went on the second floor here at the temple. But now they built a wonderful greenhouse at the cemetery.
Oh.
And all plants at the cemetery.
You take
them there. Oh. Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They've never had it so good.
And
the plants.
Are they thriving?
Yes.
That's good.
This is the first, yeah.
That's a very living thing there. That's
well, I say that our plants go to Florida for the winter in that greenhouse.
It's heavenly. So that has been a
yes, and the garden is, we publish three newsletters a summer called the Papyrus, and we're very well known throughout America and Europe. There isn't a single one in Europe, you won't believe it. And, you know, all the horticultural libraries want our newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And they think that we're a big entity, and we are not. We're very small.
It's a
Walter does all the public relations.
I do
a lot of research. He does some research too, but he does public relations, which is an enormous job.
I can imagine. Yeah. Do you have people coming from everywhere?
From everywhere. We're in the AAA. We are. I've had letters recently from Krakow, from Italy, that's outside the United States, from Switzerland. And then I get all sorts of requests from all America. But I just had a phone call from a lady in Minnesota. Oh, yes. They had done, the Cleveland Museum had an Egyptian exhibit. I don't know if you know about that.
I know about that.
And
Museum.
She was making paper from papyrus. And she had been told about us, and she called me, because we had an exhibit one summer of paper.
I remember
that. From ancient times.
And she
so
came
we were
to
able
consult
to,
with
yeah,
you.
And the, for example, the zoo in Cincinnati started a biblical garden just recently. I haven't seen it. But he came here to get advice.
Is that right?
So
in the zoo they're having
yeah,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Where the zoo is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he came here
to find out.
Yeah. Pretty good name in America.
I think you do, all over the world,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. Anyway. Is there anything else? You've done an awful lot. Is there anything else? Are you getting the names of these books, Ruth?
Huh?
Are you getting the names of the books?
Yeah.
Could we get the names of the books, please,
yeah.
Irene?
Just give me the books and I'll...
What is the last one you pulled out?
That's a guide to the garden.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Pretty good.
How about that?
Hmm?
Isn't that?
Oh, to grandchildren.
You didn't mention them. Is he
your
only?
We have two.
Okay.
Zachary is 4, and Maddie is 2.
Okay.
And we see quite a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
And they're very cute.
They're very nice children.
Yeah,
I've
very
seen
very sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we ought to get him in on the tape. And what are you doing now? What are you up to right now?
Well, I'm right now.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I have to finish cleaning up that garden.
Okay.
I have some help later with the leaves, but no, I still have to things that I have to do myself. And then also for the garden, as I say, we're revising the book Gardens of North America and Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
The guide to the Biblical Garden is almost sold out.
There are
only a few copies left.
Is that
not
right?
Enough for next year. I don't know if I can still do it this year. And I'm doing the new show for next year, for next summer. I haven't got a title yet. It's going to be something on vegetables.
Have you ever done vegetables?
Not as a show, no.
No. Okay, but this year you will.
Yeah, this year I'm just doing it. I worked on it this morning.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's what's...
That keeps me out of mischief.
That's good.
I love to read. I love to do research. I've traveled a great deal. When Walter was president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, of course we traveled a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, we'd also look at gardens.
Of course.
You know,
right.
Keep up.
It's wonderful to have a passion about something.
Yeah.
It really is. You're very lucky.
I guess.
I think. Right. Yeah. Where have you traveled? Just everywhere?
We traveled, as I said before, I traveled a lot when I was single.
Right.
So did Walter. Walter was stationed in the army in the Far East. But we've been to most places in Europe,
mm-hmm.
not Poland, Russia, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Scandinavia, Europe. Mm-hmm. Pretty much we've done Europe many times.
Mm-hmm.
Been back to England, of course. In the Far East, to Thailand, Japan, Sri Lanka, Burma, Vietnam, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand.
Right. You've been around.
I haven't been to South America. I hope that still comes.
Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Do you?
I haven't been to China either.
Neither have I. And I haven't been to South America. I was eager to go to South America. But,
well, I think it may be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, never.
Ruthie, can you think of anything?
We have a final question.
Is if you could change anything? I don't think.
You know, it's like, if you want to be a tree for Barbara Walters?
I'm supposed to ask you if you could live your life over, is there anything you would do differently?
I would learn to paint.
Oh,
okay. I love nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be wonderful just to sit and paint.
Capture it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about photography?
No. Most of the pictures taken by Walter. I still love music. I want to get back to it one day.
You play the recorder?
Played flute, recorder. My other instruments were violin and accordion.
Oh, okay.
But sort of dropped by the way.
You have to practice and you're
well,
busy.
You've got to...
Yeah.
You have to discipline yourself.
And when you're busy, I guess it's hard to,
find the time
for all the good things there are to do.
Yeah, now you spend more time with grandchildren and that sort of thing.
Are they in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've done it. Thank you very much. It's been
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure.
Okay.
After I volunteered at the Western Psych at the Greenhouse, I also started a plant business called The Plant Hunter. And The Plant Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R. And as I say, the people at the Western Psych were very nice. So Walter visited me once, and he saw that, and he went home, and he got somebody to start a greenhouse at home. So at first I had plants which I sold from home. I did, but that was, I don't advise it to anybody. You know, people come for half an hour and buy maybe one plant, and your time is gone. Anyway, I also did plant maintenance in all sorts of places in Pittsburgh when that was, plants were very popular in offices. So I was downtown and was up here, everywhere, apartment houses, whatnot. And I also did landscaping quite a bit. And I just did my last landscaping job last year.
Oh. So
at the courtyard at Weinberg Terrace, which was quite an undertaking. Uh-huh. And I don't know what it looks like today because I didn't maintain it. I just put it in. But it was a big challenge. And with that, I said goodbye to my landscape career because I was really getting too old for that, to do that as well, all the physical work involved. And we have a very large garden, beautiful garden at home with ponds and streams that has to be kept up, and the biblical garden. Now I finished, well, in a way. I'd still advise people, but not really in a big way anymore in landscaping. But that was really very important in my life. I did a lot of landscaping
out
in Pittsburgh.
How long were you in business?
Been in business, 20 years.
Right along, you've been in business for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Or in addition to all the other things, I still have a business. And,
was a Plant Hunter, was that a store?
No, that was the name of my business. Hunted plants.
You hunted plants for
you know,
people.
Different plants. Yeah, getting something more exotic, that's how really.
Okay. Somebody wanted something special, you would find it.
Something like that, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I did the temple. I did the front of the temple. I redid the courtyard here.
What did you?
I did, except for grass and shrubs, I did the temple, and I gave that up to. I did the maintenance here in the temple. That up to, but not anymore. I finished all that. It was just too much. It was too much physical work. Yeah. And I didn't have any time left for anything else.
It's like five.
Huh?
You had five full-time jobs, it seems to me.
And as a rabbi's wife, I really, I did everything, you know, I come every Shabbat to services.
Right.
I went to sisterhood meetings for about 18 years. I don't anymore. I mean to board meetings.
I know. Uh-huh.
Otherwise I go to sisterhood meetings most of the time and participate. Uh-huh. But I'm not a professional advice wife.
I understand.
Not like Lillian Friel, who has always been a marvelous example. But that she didn't have children and she did not have
She didn't have another
job.
That was her life.
Yes,
right.
But she set a marvelous example.
But Carol Stateman is her own woman.
Yeah.
I can see she's not making it her career.
No.
And nobody, certainly, I don't think anybody minds at all. I think it's a different world.
Yeah.
It's easier for her.
So you can't compare a young rabbi's wife today
to what was expected
to 40 years ago.
I don't know with the Orthodox, maybe.
Oh,
I don't
know. Now that's another story.
Huh?
That's another story.
But, I don't know with the
but
Orthodox.
Well, those mothers are into, those women are into teaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're in the synagogues
educating. Yeah.
And they have a lot of children, too.
Yeah, they got loads of children.
They have lots of kids.
Mm-hmm. Should we?